KPCW News Time now, 8:39. I'm Leslie Thatcher. This is the KPCW Local News Hour. Well, the Treasure Project is back, and the property owners have asked Park City Municipal to reignite the planning process before the City Planning Commission. In the studio, I have Pat Sweeney. He's one of the three brothers who own half of the development. Good morning to you, Pat.
Good morning, Leslie.
So word is that you and your partners have been meeting almost weekly with city staff to try and massage this development proposal. What kind of prompted that you to ask that it go from the back rooms now to this public process?
There's a little more background there. We were meeting frequently back in the summer, and then things tapered off. And then there were some private discussions between attorneys. There was a half a dozen of those the last several months. And so having spent, you know, almost 6 years since we were actively in the CUP process looking at alternatives, it became obvious that it was time to get on with it and that we had exhausted, you know, other routes to go. And so here we are.
Well, let's start kind of as way of background. The density for Treasure was agreed to back in the 1980s. Basically, when your family gave the city the easement to build Deer Valley Drive, in exchange you did receive some density to build what we know as Summit Watch on Lower Main Street, as well as the proposal under discussion. I mean, is that a worthy Reader's Digest version, or give us more?
That's a Reader's Digest version. There were other parties involved with respect to Deer Valley Drive. That was more originally Blaine Huntsman and Ladd Christensen, subsequently Harry Reid and Skip Scherf. It all overlapped, and so we did a lot of cooperative things. Our ground was on Park Avenue, and then from Park Avenue across Old Town and up on the hillside that's west of Old Town.
And the idea of trying to keep as much open as we could, so let's...
Yeah, that was the idea. Back then we talked to the staff and the Planning Commission and City Council about all our properties, and we looked at a number of options, and The city asked us to look at a clustered approach on the hillside portion of our property. And so we spent some time looking at eight different scenarios there, all of them compared with permitted use, which would be a typical Old Town street or two, and then a road similar to what you might see in the Colony with some large homes on it. And at the end of the day, we agreed with the city, and we agreed to cluster and establish some criteria, some boundaries, some limits. What the city got, what we got, and that's where the master plan came from, and that was agreed to in 1986.
Wow. So, to talk about the current proposal, I mean, we've heard a million square feet of development. Some 200 hotel rooms, 100 condominiums, some conference space. Is that accurate?
Well, I think the first thing, when you say a million square feet, I think the first question you got to ask is, what are you talking about? A million square feet of what? And can I see it? Can I perceive it? What's it for? What other kind of feet do I get out of it? And I'm talking from the perspective of a citizen. And so there's a million square feet of gross. But the part that we actually got approved for was net. And so the net's 400,000. And that's the part you really can monetize. That's what drives, that's the economic engine. That's what you can sell or rent. And the other parts to support that just allows you to be able to do that. And in the case of that part of our master plan, we were required to, and we agreed to put everything underground, parking, driveways, service, off the street, on private property, underground. And that takes a lot of square footage.
Yeah, yeah. So the agreement itself, was it for just the number of units, or did it also, does the agreement also spell out net 400,000 square feet?
The way a master plan worked back then, and it's pretty similar now, is you got what are called UEs, or unit equivalents. And residential UE is 2,000 net square feet. On the by the same token, a single family house is one unit equivalent, and it could be 10,000 square feet. So there's a big difference between certain unit equivalents. We agreed to the smaller unit equivalents with the city, which is 2,000 net square feet of residential for a UE. And we were approved for 394,000 net square feet of residential. And then we were approved for 19,000 square feet of commercial. Everything else doesn't count against those UEs, but it's expected. In fact, it's required, like parking. And a good example that people can relate to, I think, most people is the Montage. You know, that's a great project. I don't want anybody to mistake that. I don't think that's a terrific project. It is. It's a great comparison for what we're asking to do in terms of the big picture. They have about 1 million square feet that they built up there. Their UEs, if I recall right, their residential UEs amounted to about 375,000 square feet. And then they had some commercial UEs, and maybe that's another 50, 60,000 square feet. But in order to build that stuff that they can profit from, and they need to survive, they had to build another 600,000 square feet so it could work. A lot of that's parking. It's a similar situation for us. And if that 600,000 square feet were in on Main Street, a lot of that activity is on the surface. You know, and not so up there. It's all on the ground. And that's to the benefit of the community. I think the net square feet that's the real number in my mind is our footprint. And what is perceived above ground up there, Leslie, is 150,000 square feet. 150,000 square feet. And that piece of property is over 5 million square feet. And of that 5 million square feet, it's 300,000 roughly. 5 million square feet is real, honest to goodness open space. So that should be what's on the balance. 5 million versus 150.
So you have put together a timeline and asking that this actually get approved by like the end of September. Is that realistic?
Yes. It's not that complicated. Back in 1986, the city council set a target. We are confident we've hit that target. There's 10 criteria in the master plan, 15 in the CUP process, and then 4 additional general categories in the CUP process. We've addressed those. That information's been on the website, available to public since 2008. Hasn't changed. It's robust. It's complete. It's just not that complicated. Did we hit the target that the city council set in 1986? We believe we have. And not just to target the bullseye. And we believe that what the planning commission can do is look at that and make a judgment whether we did or not. We think that's what should happen.
So we've got basically a brand new planning commission from where you dealt with before. Is that going to slow things down?
Well, there's some of them that are, I don't know them. I know Adam a little bit. He was on the commission when we were there. But I'm pretty sure they're capable and that they've had this on their radar screen. And I know the staff has for years. And so as far as the being able to focus on the task at hand. I don't think it's overwhelming. And we think that, you know, that time frame is realistic.
So just kind of projecting out, what happens if the Planning Commission denies the proposal? Because what would happen, I mean, they would make a recommendation usually to City Council, and City Council would have the final vote. But because of the negotiations that took place, this is basically just going to Planning Commission. And if they deny it, it goes to an appeals board of whom?
The way it's set up is it goes to a three judges. As the next level, and that's where we would appeal if we determined that was what we wanted to do, or the city, or a third party.
Yeah. Okay. So, like district court judges court judges.
You know, I'm not a lawyer, so this is big picture. But I believe that they are lawyers, mm-hmm. and I think they often are judges or retired judges, and they do this kind of like certain judges do arbitration. That's my understanding, and it's my understanding that those judges would be appointed by the city.
All right. So assuming that this does get approved in some way, do you step out and just sell the development to a third party, to Vail?
To whoever. I think by that time I will have done my part. I think that a big part of any development is the planning, and the staff by that time will have done their part, and you know, they'll still hold their part of the baton. It might not be the staff we've been working with, but the future staff, and then somebody else will that has that economic wherewithal will build that.
Yeah. Have you met Vail? Are they interested?
I haven't talked to them. I think if I understand what you mean by interested, they haven't indicated any interest in buying that. They're clearly interested in it from this perspective. Is the skiing first rate and is the bed base first rate? They're clearly interested in that part, the part that necessarily involves them in the part that they're real good at.
All right. If people want to kind of catch up, you do have a website that's still up. Can you give us the address of that?
The website is treasureparkcity.com, treasureparkcity.com. If you go to the website and click on submittal documents, click on appendices, the first item is called written and pictorial. That's a 40-page document that's 90% pictures, an easy read, has it all there. It gives people a real good overview, if you will. And then there's all sorts of clear other materials.
All right. Well, I had heard that you had hoped to get on the agenda, the April 27th Planning Commission agenda. It looks like that's been pushed back to May 11th.
I haven't heard May 11th, but I haven't heard that we got on the 27th. So May 11th, that's great.
Okay. Pat, I need to leave it there. Thanks for coming in this morning.
Thank you, Leslie.
Pat Sweeney with Treasure.